Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Thank you so much for singing that song. Thank you, Wendell, for leading that song. I love the idea, the words, the meaning of the song that the Lord is leading us higher. He's calling us higher. He's calling us deeper. And that's really what this new series for a new year is all about, is that the Lord is calling us. He's calling us higher. He's calling us deeper. We're on a journey with Him. And so we're going to look at the Psalms of Ascents. These are 15 Psalms. If you have an outline that you want to follow along with, you can fill in the blanks on that and help you stay up with the sermon. But these Psalms of Ascents are a group of 15 psalms. They start with Psalm 120 and end with Psalm 134. Most of them are very short, and it's often said about them they are short songs for what is a very long journey. And these were songs that were sung by God's people while they were on a journey. Most specifically, they were psalms that were sung on journeys to Jerusalem. And you'll notice that I am calling them the Psalms of Ascents. Not the songs of accents. I'm not going to do a different accent for each psalm. And it's not a singular word. In the Hebrew, they're not called Psalms of Ascent. They are called Psalms of Ascents. I think that is because when we are on a long journey, it's not usually just one steady climb. It's not usually just one up. When we're on a long journey, it's usually a series of climbs. It's a series of ascents. Sometimes we're going up, sometimes we're going down, but our ultimate destination is up. And so therefore, these are the Psalms of Ascents. And one way that you could translate Psalms of Ascents would be this: songs for going up. And I like that. Songs for going up. I'm looking forward to going up in the new year. And I'm looking forward to singing these songs as we do that. They're called Songs of Ascents or Songs for Going Up for this particular reason, because no matter where you are in Israel, Jerusalem is always up. And you even read about it that way in Scripture. Jesus says in John chapter 5, verse 1, or it says about Jesus, that Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And you'll find that as consistent language in the Bible. Whenever the people of God talk about Jerusalem and they talk about going there, they always talk about going up. And that is because literally, Jerusalem sits 2,500 feet above sea level, and it is higher than any other city or town in the nation of Israel. And so no matter where you are in Israel, you are going up to Jerusalem. If you were in Galilee, up around the Sea of Galilee, Jerusalem would be anywhere from 1,000 to 1,500 feet up if you were making that journey. If you were over on the Mediterranean coast, if you were making your way to Jerusalem, it'd be about 2,500 foot climb. If you were on the east side, if you were down by the Jordan Valley, if you're down around Jericho, if you're down around the Dead Sea, that area is actually below sea level. And so you would climb 3,700 feet to get up to Jerusalem. That's why in the story of the Good Samaritan, Jesus said that a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. When you leave Jerusalem, you always go down. And when you make your way to Jerusalem, you're always going up. And so these songs were to be sung on the journey up to Jerusalem. Psalms of Ascents, songs for going up. But travelers did not just journey up to Jerusalem physically. When you went to Jerusalem, you went up spiritually as well, because Jerusalem was the city of David. Jerusalem was the holy mountain of God. Jerusalem was built where Abraham had gone to be obedient and sacrifice his son Isaac to to God. Jerusalem is where on that mountain Solomon built the magnificent temple to the Lord God. And Jerusalem is where God himself chose to dwell between the cherubim on the Ark of the Covenant. And so to go up to Jerusalem was to go up to the presence of God. And it is in that sense that we are going to journey up this year. To go up to the presence of God. But if you are going up, it means that you are currently... If you are going up, it means that you are currently very good. And realistically, we've been down in 2020. We've talked about that. We even did a Christmas series on that. Our church has been down in some ways. Your families have been down in some ways. You personally have been down in some ways. And when you are down, the best way to go is up. Exactly. And so I want us to go up this year. I want us to go up. We don't know what the year holds. We don't know when things will be normal again. We don't even know what normal will look like. But let's go up. No matter what's going on around us, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what the year looks like, let's decide that this year we're going to go up. And we're going to go up to God. We're going to go up to the presence of God because He is calling us higher and He is calling us deeper. And so we're going to begin our year just as we began the last year. We're going to begin our year dedicating ourselves to God, submitting ourselves to God, committing ourselves to God as we begin that day with prayer and with fasting. Because that is one of the ways that we go up. That's one of the disciplines that we use to go up. And we're going to pray and we're going to fast for two very specific reasons, two very specific purposes. First of all, we're going to pray and fast for our church. And we're asking God, we talked about this during our 40 days of prayer, we're asking God to break through. We're asking God for a breakthrough, because as a church, we're ready to go up, and we're going to pray and we're going to fast and we're going to ask God for something that He showed us in Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37 is the story, the image, the picture that God gave Ezekiel of the valley of dry bones. Ezekiel saw that valley. It was full of dry bones. And then while he was there, God spoke life into those bones. And those bones stood up and began to form themselves into skeletons. And then God breathed the breath of life on those bones. And they began to be covered with muscle and tendons and flesh. And what had been dead, God made alive again. That's the business that God is in. Aren't you thankful for that? That's the business that God is in. And those dry bones represented God's people. And verse 11 says that God's people are saying, our bones have dried up, our hope is gone. And very honestly, I have felt that way on more days than I would like to admit. You can't be more down than the valley of dry bones. But let's go up. Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 14, we find a promise that I believe, after a time of prayer and fasting, that God is calling our church to pray. I shared this with you back at the end of November, that as a church, as we pray and fast this year, let's ask God what Ezekiel 37, 14 says. God says, I will put my spirit in you, and you will come to life again, and then you will know that I am God. And that last part is so important. Why do we want this to happen? We love life, yes. But more than anything, we want it to happen because we want to know that He is God. And we want those around us to know that He is God. And so as we pray and fast each month, on the first day of the month during 2021, I want us to come to God and humbly admit that we feel like dry bones some days, but that we're asking Him to breathe His Spirit into us, to give us life, so that we will know that He is the Lord. And so we're going to pray that together every month as a church. And I don't know specifically what that's going to look like, but I do know that God has plans for us, and He says that He has plans to prosper. He has plans to bless. He has plans to give life. He has plans to give hope. And so we're going to ask God to break through. We're going to say to God that we're ready to go up as a church in 2021. So that's one thing we're going to pray and fast about. All of us for our church. But then I'm asking you, and I'm encouraging you, for you to give some thought to what area of your life you are ready to go up in. What area of your life are you ready for God to break through and show that He is God in your life? Over the next week, I want you to be thinking very seriously about that. What area of your life do you want God to break through? Do you desire just a deeper, higher, more intimate relationship with God this year? Is that how you want Him to break through? Do you want Him to break through in an area of your life that has got you in chains, that's got you in bondage? Some self-defeating habits that just have you tied up, and you're ready for God to break through and break those chains? Is that how you want Him to break through this year? Are you ready to find healing in an area of your life and be in a position for God to use you to begin to heal other people? Are you ready to break free from sin and from addiction? Do you desire just a greater awareness of the calling of God on your life? Are you ready to place yourself in a position that you can be filled with God's Spirit? Is there a relationship in your world that you need God to break through in and do some real work to restore and heal that relationship? Is there a situation in your family where you just need God to show up and break through? Is there a decision that you have been wrestling with, a decision that may be looming, a decision that has been unmade for a while, that you need God to help you with, to break through, to give you a clear answer? Is there a place where you've been down and you're just ready to be up? I want you to give some real thought over the next few days. How do you want to pray for God to break through in your life this year? In what way are you ready to go up with God in this year? And as we pray and fast every month, I want to ask you to pray and fast about that. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to our website, tenthandbroad.org. There's a place there to click for prayer and fasting. There's tons of resources there for you. Just take 20 minutes over the next few days and just read through, watch those videos, get a good idea of what prayer and fasting is, how you can participate. And then there's a commitment card there that I want you to fill out. It's a commitment between you and God, not between anybody else, just a commitment between you and God. But you grow when you make and when you keep commitments. And so make a commitment that you're going to participate in this prayer and fasting, that you're ready to go up in this way. Fill that out. Be specific there about the area that you want to have God break through in your life. And then print that off so that you'll have it. And when you click submit, it's going to come to me. And I'm going to commit to be praying for you every month when I pray and fast. And I've been thinking, we did this last year, we're doing this again this year. I was thinking about New Year's Day, and New Year's Day was a little different last year because I was praying and I was fasting than the way I would usually spend New Year's. And I was thinking, why do I feel the need to call you to this level of commitment? Why do I feel the need to call you to this level of intimacy with God, this discipline with God? And the thing that I've just really felt so strongly about is that I believe, I'm not a prophet, I don't know what the future holds, but I really do believe that as the people of God, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, that the days ahead of us are going to be less comfortable than the days that are behind us. I think that we are coming to a place where God is going to be requiring more of us than he has required of the last few generations. And I think we've got to be ready for it. And I think we've got to prepare ourselves for it. And these are disciplines, these are practices, these are rhythms that the people of God have used for thousands and thousands of years to put themselves in a place where they are drawing near to God. And he is drawing near to them. And besides that, we're told in the New Testament that we do have a battle to fight. But we don't fight with the weapons of the flesh. We don't fight with the weapons of the world. We fight with spiritual weapons. And prayer and fasting are spiritual weapons that we will use as we stand alongside the Lord Jesus Christ in the coming days. And so unashamedly, I call you to this. Encourage you to step into this as we go up. I'm ready to go up. I'm ready for you to come with me as we go up and we sing these psalms of ascents. So let's just get a little bit of background here as we get ready to move into this series. As we get ready to go up with God and sing these songs as we travel together on this journey. There are three ways that the people of God have sung these songs. And we can connect to each one of them and we can make application with each one of them. The first one is they sang these songs on their way to Jerusalem to the pilgrim feast. And to get a little background, let's read Deuteronomy chapter 16. 3 times a year, all your men must appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose. That's going to be Jerusalem. At the festival of unleavened bread, the festival of weeks, we generally call that Pentecost, and the festival of tabernacles. No one should appear before the Lord empty-handed. Each of you must bring in proportion, a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you. And it is believed by many that these Psalms of Ascents were sung by pilgrims all over Israel and all over the world as they made their way 3 times a year to Jerusalem for these great feasts. Now, God commanded that every man should go up to the feast, but every man took his family with him when he went. And we know from history, and we even know from some glimpses in Scripture, that very often large groups were traveling together. When Jesus was 12 and his family went to Jerusalem from Nazareth, they went with a group, probably a lot of family and a lot of friends, and they traveled together. And remember, Jesus, he was lost, and his parents just thought, oh, well, he's with somebody else in the group. Jesus probably sang these songs with his parents and his brothers and his sisters and his aunts and uncles and neighbors as they made their way to Jerusalem for the feast. And very early in Christianity, followers of Jesus began to draw some parallels between that physical pilgrimage that the people of God made and the spiritual pilgrimage that we are making. And with that parallel in mind, I want you to hear Psalm chapter 84. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. Blessed are those whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. Blessed are those whose hearts are set on going up to God. Now on this journey, they're going to go through hills and valleys and all kinds of obstacles. This particular psalm says, as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Blessed are people who make a journey toward God, who go up. But while you're going up, you're going to go through the valley. This particular one is called the Valley of Baca. It means the Valley of Tears. And they have to go through that valley to get to Jerusalem. But even though the journey includes valleys, valleys of tears, valleys of hurt, valleys of fear, valleys in the shadow of death, even though the journey includes those valleys, we don't stay in those valleys. We're not staying there. We're going up. So take heart. You're only passing through on this journey. We're ascending. We're going up. So let's set our hearts on pilgrimage where we're going to meet the Lord. And on the way, it says that our valley of tears will become a valley of joy. And we'll go from strength to strength as we go to Mount Zion. Now, with that in mind, I want you to hear Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 18, says, "You have not come to a mountain that can be touched, that is burning with fire." The mountain that he's talking about here is he's going back to the Mount Sinai, back to that moment where God had come down on Mount Sinai. There was fire, there was thunder, a great cloud had descended. The people were warned, you can be around the mountain, but don't you dare touch the mountain. It is holy and you will die. And they were terrified. That's what he's remembering. And so he says to the people who follow Jesus, "You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word would be spoken to them." That's not the mountain that we are journeying toward, folks. What mountain are we going toward? It's Mount Zion. Verse 22, "You have come to Mount Zion." That's connected back to Psalm 84. That's where the pilgrims were going. And now we're going there as well. Let's continue. What is Mount Zion? Back to Hebrews 12. Mount Zion is the city of the living God. It's the heavenly Jerusalem. That's where we're headed. That's where our journey is taking us. "You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. You have come to the church of the firstborn." That's us. "To those whose names are written in heaven." Thank you, Jesus, that our names are written in heaven because of him. "You have come to God, to the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect." You have come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. That's where we're headed. That's our journey. A journey through life. And we have songs to sing on the way. Because we're pilgrims. And we're moving up. We're moving toward God. So, that's one of the ways that the Psalms of Ascent were sung. One of the ways we can make application. There's a second way, and that is the temple steps. The temple steps. There are 15 Psalms of Ascents. And in Judaism, these 15 Psalms developed a real strong connection and association with the 15 steps that were in the temple at the place that is called the Nicanor Gate. And in fact, there's a translation of the Hebrew Bible called the Septuagint. It was written just a few decades before Jesus was born. It was translation of the Hebrew into Greek, so the Old Testament. And in that particular translation, they called these the Songs of the Steps. So there's a very close connection between these 15 Psalms and these 15 steps. I have a picture here for you of the temple. Because I want you to get this in your mind, and this may be one of the ways that you can apply this. All around in the back there, and if we could see a larger picture, you would see that it goes all around, are this colonnade that surrounded the temple. That huge court inside those columns was called the court of the Gentiles. And what that meant was that is the area that Gentiles could go. We would be Gentiles. Anyone who was not born of Israel, circumcised, anyone else was a Gentile. The rest of the world. They could come and worship God, but it was in that court that they could go and no further. If you see those gold doors there, those gold doors at the bottom of the picture, inside those doors is what was called the court of women. And that is where Israelite women could enter those doors, and they could be in that courtyard, but they could go no closer. And then you see those steps. There's 15 of them. That's the Nicanor Gate. And that led up into the court of the Israelites. And that's where Jewish men could go. But they could go no further. And then inside those gold doors, inside the actual temple building, you entered there and you were in the holy place. And that's where the priest could go. But they could go no further, because beyond those doors was a curtain. We're going to talk about that curtain in a minute, so remember that. And behind that curtain was the ark, the presence of God. And no one entered except the high priest, and he could only do it one time a year. So do you see, the temple was constructed in such a way that it laid out these barriers, that some could go this far, but no further. Some could go this far, but no further. And ultimately, only one could go into the presence of God. And that was a terrifying thing. Now, there's a second picture I want you to see. This is a closer view of those steps. During temple worship, it's said that the Levites would stand on those 15 steps and lead the people in worship. And so a connection developed between the Psalms of Ascents and those steps. And rabbinic tradition said that the Levites would sing one song per step, one of these Psalms of Ascents per step, as they made their way up to God. Now remember all these barriers that restricted access to God. See, what we're going to be praying for this year is for God to break through barriers. For God to break through barriers that have been erected in your life. Barriers that other people have built up. Barriers that you yourself have built up that keep you from drawing near to God. That keep you from taking another step toward God. We want to ask God this year to break through those barriers. And we want to sing these Psalms of Ascents to praise God. As we pray and as we fast and as we move toward Him, wholeheartedly asking Him to break down whatever barriers there are in the way. Because you see, our God is in the barrier-breaking business. It's what He did through Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2. The Holy Spirit inspires Paul to write about how God breaks down barriers. In verse 11 it says, "Therefore remember," and he's talking to this church who's made up mainly of Gentiles, "Therefore remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcised," remember, he says, "therefore you, that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from the citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world." That's a bad place to be, without hope and without God in the world. They were separated, they were excluded, they were far away from God. There were barriers at the temple to keep them away from God. There are barriers in their hearts to keep them away from God. But now... And "but now" are two of the best words in the Bible. Every time you read them, just read a sigh of relief, because something good is coming. "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ." That's the good news of the gospel, folks. And if you're listening and don't know it, that is the good news that God has for you. That you may be far away from God. There may be barriers that have been built up that are keeping you away from God. But God has come to break down walls. He has come to break down barriers. He has come so that you can draw near to Him through the blood of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus was on the cross and He gave His life, God literally broke down the barriers that separate us from Him. And an incredible thing happened in that temple. Remember that picture? An incredible thing happened. Matthew 27, verse 51 says that at the moment that Jesus died, the curtain that was inside that temple that separated the presence of God from everyone else in the world, that curtain was torn from top to bottom. What a image, what a very real, literal, practical image God gave us of what he was doing. It had cosmic proportion, implications, eternal implications, because God breaks down barriers. I think this would be a really good time for us to commune with the Lord. He goes on to say, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers. You're fellow citizens with God's people. You're members of his household. You are built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. And in him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. When God breaks down the walls, when the blood of Jesus cleanses you and brings you into the family, into the kingdom, into the house, you don't just draw near to God. He draws near to you, and he makes your heart a dwelling place. Would you take the bread and the cup? And let's just take a moment to give thanks to God, to give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ for the barriers that he has broken down. Be specific with him this morning as you give thanks for the walls that he has broken, the curtains that he has torn, the places that you were separated and far from God. But now, through his blood, you have been brought near. Father, we take a moment to pause, to pray, to say thank you for what you have done for us through Jesus. It is almost too much to comprehend, too much to imagine, too good to be true. But we know it's true because we've experienced it. We've experienced the salvation, the joy, the hope, the life that you have and are giving us in Jesus. Thank you for cleansing us of our sin. Thank you for making us clean and whole and righteous and pure and good. Thank you for keeping us that way. And thank you in very personal ways, as we each remember now, that you have worked in our life to bring us near to God. And so you've blessed us with this memorial, this moment to take bread and to take a cup and to remember, to give thanks, to look to the past at what you have done, and to look at the future at what you are going to do as we go up. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things that the cross teaches us, it's really important for us to get as we talk about going up. Because when I paint a picture of us going up this year, I don't imagine that it's all going to be pie in the sky. That's not what journeys with God usually look like. It's not what Jesus' journey with his Father looked like. Because in the economy of God, in the kingdom of God, very often, to go up, we must go down. Before Jesus rose, he was buried. He descended before he could ascend. And so the cross reminds us of that reality and that truth, that as we pilgrim, as we journey, as we walk with God, it won't always be happy, it won't always be positive, it won't always be comfortable, but we'll always be going up. We'll always be going toward God. There's one more association that I want us to see this morning as we close with this introduction to the Psalms of Ascents. This third way that these songs were sung, and that was by the returning exiles. Israel had been exiled, cast out of Jerusalem. The city had been destroyed. They had been in captivity for 70 years. But just as God promised, after 70 years, he began to bring them back. And these songs were sung by those exiles as they made that long, far journey from captivity to Jerusalem, to the presence of God again. And every one of us have been captive to sin. Some still are. Separated from God, feel very far away. I know what that feels like. I know what it feels like to have your sin separate you from God, to feel that distance. I also know what it feels like to feel that inside, but still go through all the motions and come to church and sing the songs and say the prayers, but to still feel exiled and far, to still feel captive. And if that's where you experience yourself, that's where you find yourself, I want to invite you to come and let's go. And let's go up. And let's move toward God. Let's go higher. Let's go deeper. Let's take whatever steps we need to take. Let's ask God to break down whatever barriers he needs to break down. And let's go up. Let's go up to God and let's sing these songs. Songs for going up. Psalms for ascents.